Turn again this evening to the letters of the Lord to his churches, and through the churches of the day to the Church of Christ. And dealing with all of the letters, but a part of each of them, if you like. In each of them, practically, the Lord says to the church, I know. And the indications in the things that he says, he knows, but the indications also of his care for his church. And having looked last week at the Lord, what the Lord knows and cares, the encouragement that the church should be strong, the encouragement now this evening that the church should get right, the church should get right with the Lord, the church should repent. No one likes criticism, it seems, unless God is at work in their hearts. Most people even feel their need of encouragement. And when the Lord spoke to his church early in this prophecy of Revelation, he did offer a great deal of encouragement. He was more aware than anyone else of the difficulties and the tests that the church was facing. And many of those things that you might read that the churches were dealing with at that time, 20 centuries or so later, they still apply, or they reoccur in various combinations perhaps. But the Lord then, and the Lord since, through such a word, has shown his care and encouragement for his people. But if you look at these seven letters, amongst them there were one or two churches that seemed not to have received such encouragement. Did the Lord not love them? Well, I'm taking these letters in perhaps a slightly different, peculiar approach in these few weeks. And it's one slight weakness, perhaps, of taking the letters in the component parts that I'm not touching just yet on the amazing promises. And these promises are given to all of the churches, all seven. But still, even for that, there are several other places in Scripture where we are reminded, where God makes very clear that his, what we might think of as more severe tones to us, are in fact also loving and caring. Doesn't Proverbs tell us that faithful are the wounds of a friend, and also that the best response to such a friend's care is put in this way: rebuke a wise man and he will love you. First you'll find in Proverbs 27:6, and the other in chapter 9 and verse 8. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. That's wisdom. And that's the light that we should have on every part in these letters where the Lord says, but I have a few things against you, as in chapter 2, verse 14, or where his words are even sharper. You are dead, he said to Sardis in chapter 3 and verse 1. Or to Laodicea, as we read in chapter 3, verse 16, I will vomit you out of my mouth. There's nothing pleasant about that. But even as he said to them, to Laodicea, as he said through the writer to the Hebrews, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. It is loving that he should not let those who stray go on in that way. And so the Lord speaks of his knowledge and his care, not only in comforting encouragement, but also in warning. In that warning, he makes clear his intimate knowledge of them, and also shows that he still cares for them, although some have wandered a long way off. And so in these letters, there are just such words also to the church of today. these words, "The Lord knows when his people are in danger, and the Lord cares to call his people to repent." These are the main points that I would direct you to in looking at these letters. And so first of all, the Lord knows. What does the Lord know? He knows when his people are in danger. Although it's not often the danger that we, his people, tend to perceive. We might look at the things, for example, that he wrote of to Smyrna, where they were going to suffer tribulation. There were those who were going to be putting them under attack. They were possibly throwing them into prison, and so on. These are the kinds of dangers that we would be much more aware of. But the dangers that seem to be looming up out of these letters, the dangers the Lord is paying attention to, are those that the church seems to have been oblivious to. Things that were going on being accepted within the church, leading them away from God. And as we saw in Psalm 51 this morning, David shows that being led away from God, is surely the greatest danger for a man to face. Now we have touched bit by bit as I've gone through these letters, touched on some of the pressures that were around these churches in the cities or societies about them. There were many of these cities or towns which had thriving religious sectors, we might put it. Yes, there were industries in their own right in some ways. There were different idols that were served. In some cases, such as Ephesus, there were perhaps one or two major ones. In others, there was a whole range of minor ones. In several of these cases, it would almost appear to match up where it speaks about where the Lord says, this is, for example, Pergamos, where Satan dwells, where Satan's throne is, in verse 13, that it would seem to tie up with a developing cult of emperor worship. And that was an especially difficult one to escape, I think. You know, these days people might say, well, it's all very well to have your religion, keep it private, do what you wish, we'll let you carry on. But if it came to the place of worshipping the government or something like that, then it becomes obvious. It becomes open. You are open to the test. And that is the kind of thing that would happen with this emperor worship. Oaths of allegiance to the state and so forth. As well as that, though, there were several very prosperous cities amongst them. Several of them. Laodicea is a classic example. And a classic example also of how there's a very strong link between the society and the church. Not in a formal way, but as far as attitudes, as far as condition were concerned. And so with these things around them, the kind of setting that they were in, these may have been powerful influences leading to the real dangers that the Lord spoke of. But that's why I read Daniel chapter 3. Because there were three men there who were under immense pressure, weren't they? And they said, well, Nebuchadnezzar, if this is so, well, God will look after us. But if not, we're still not going to worship. We have our God. We will not give in. There are all sorts of pressures around these churches, all sorts of influences around them. And some of these churches show that that was insufficient to give in to them. Smyrna and Philadelphia particularly. Philadelphia, the Lord knew their weakness. And in spite of their weakness, they remained strong and stood for him, just like Daniel's three friends. They show that no external pressure is sufficient to succumb to if you trust in the Lord. I know that sounds very easy to say. Maybe very easy for me to say. But if we don't go on saying it now when we can do it, will we be ready if the time comes? So there are those pressures. The other thing about these letters is that I would suggest there are two levels of danger that are dealt with here. There are the dangerous things in their present condition. The things that are going on at the moment are dangerous things to be doing. But there is also the ultimate danger that those things will lead to. I might say, for example, I get out my power drill and I say to one of my boys, and I say, well, this can be dangerous. Why? Because of what it leads to. If it's mishandled, it could put a hole through your hand, and so on. We might say, that's a dangerous road to take. The road itself may seem fine. The problem is that there are dangers all around it, and the direction, the destination, it's a bad end. It's the end that makes it an unwise and unsuitable road to follow. Well, looking at the letters, there are three specific dangerous routes that are referred to in two of the letters. So there are three of them, three specifics found in two of the letters. There is another letter, the one to Ephesus, that mentions one of these, only in this case, the church in Ephesus hated the specific danger. That's to do with the Nicolaitans. You've hated them, I also hate them, in verse 6. But their doctrine was held by some in Pergamos.